Okay, as the final parak in Hilchos Gzeila Ve'aveda parak Ches, and this last chapter is dedicated to finding documents, different kinds of business documents, halachic documents, and whether you're chayav, you're obligated to return them or not. Halacha Aleph Rambam says Motzei Shtar Chov. Okay, it's a little complicated. Let's say you find a promissory note, an IOU, afi shlo pirush bo achrayus nechasim, v'afi shachayav modeh. So even if what it called, there's no clear indication of any type of lien against the property in the contract itself, nor is there what it called, and we know that the debtor actually is somebody who acknowledges that he has a debt to pay. And even if we know we see clearly signatures by witnesses, this is a unique situation. You do not return this document. Shema paro v'kinyunya heim osim k'dei litrifo l'kuklos shlo k'din. Because it's possible that the creditor and the debtor are put together to trick and steal and lie to those who are going to purchase the land from the debtor. And therefore they acknowledge him. Right? And then what's going to happen is the debtor is not going to acknowledge the claim made by the creditor about his property. Right? He'll say that it was what it called, even though it doesn't say actually anything in there, it was a mistake. It doesn't matter what kind of clause we're talking about here, whether it is a sale or it is a promissory note. That's why if the promissory note says openly, right, that there's no lien on the property, and if the debtor acknowledges that he is obligated to pay back this debt, yaksa, then he should return the shtar. And if not, and if not, he shouldn't do it because maybe what's going to happen is maybe it was paid already. Okay, halacha beis v'chein im matzah shtar shes manavo v'yom. If I find a contract that's dated today, v'haya mekuyam, right, and I see the witnesses, the signatures of the witnesses, and they're good, v'chay moda, and the debtor acknowledges he must pay the guy back, yaksa, return it. Mena mekuyam, but if you don't see the signatures of the witnesses, or let's say they're not valid signatures, lo yaksa, why shem akasa lava sudayin lava? Because maybe the guy who wants to borrow filled out the contract already, but he hasn't actually taken out the loan yet. Let's say you find this IOU in, let's say, a leather container or a wooden container. You return it to the person who can make an identifying, can identify something on it. Let's say you find three contracts that are tied together as one. Or the ones on top of the other, and they're tied together. You return it to the person who's able to give an distinct identifying feature. Let's say there are what are called, three different promissory notes, and they're all fine together, and they reference one borrow and three separate lenders. So let's assume one borrow has three separate contracts or two separate banks. So if it's clear that the signatures of the witnesses are valid, then you return it back to the borrower. But if not, then you give it back to the person who can identify it. Because maybe the lenders gave the notes over to the contracts over to a sofer to go ahead and validate them. And let's say it was dropped from the judge. Let's say vice versa. Let's say the note has one lender and three borrowers. And then it goes back to the lender. Let's say all three written by one guy. You give it back to the person who identifies it. Because maybe the three of them brought the contract to the sofer to write up. And the sofer dropped it. Let's say you find contracts that are torn. And inside these contracts that are torn, you find a promissory note. Lo yaksa, don't return. Imeshiman shuvar. But let's say what it called. There was some type of receipt in there. Afilu below edim. Even there's no witnesses. Yitin shtarcho lova. Then you give this promissory note to the borrower. Chuloya parua. Because if it hasn't been paid yet, lo hishlichu ben shtaros kurim. He wouldn't have put it. He would have dumped it, so to speak, between these ripped contracts. By haray yesh imok sabshu parua. And not only that, there's a document in there that actually says that it was paid. Halacha Vav. You're switching to a different kind of halachic document. So if I find a get, what do you call it, In a situation where the husband acknowledges that he divorced the woman, you return it to the woman. Ain abamo. Let's say he denies such the divorce. In us that you show siman mubach. If the woman's able to give a very distinct, identified distinct sign in the get, inasa. If she's unable to, then it doesn't get returned to either party. Amar baal miyadi nafal. The husband says it fell for me. The nasan simanav and gave the proper signs. The isha meres miyadi nafla nafal, and she said no, it fell for me. The nasan simanav, she gives the signs. She gets the get. Going as long as a very clear, distinct mark is identified. Like there's a hole right next to this specific letter. Because if the divorce, if the get had not been in her hand, there's no way she would have known about that tiny little hole next to the letter. Halacha. Now, who Omer? Simani hachut shekashabo get. Let's say he says he identifies the get with the string that's tied around it. V'yomer simani hachut, right? And she says also the sign is the string. Nasanah, give it to her. V'hu shetomar sima mubak. As long as he says a clear, distinct sign, can go on midas or hachut. Like they can, he knows exactly the measurement of the string. Aval imam or adam or shachar. Let's say he said she said it's red or black. Who? Ain't the mubak. That's not considered a very, very distinct sign. Because they both say that it was held in a leather container, and that's her siman. Nasan give it to her. She ain't the mubak. That's not considered a very distinctive, unique sign. Let's say you find a shtar that releases a servant from servitude of a non-Jewish servant when the master acknowledges that to be the case. Yaakov and give it to the non-Jewish servant. But if the master, so to speak, denies it, it's not returned to either party. Matana. Let's say you find what do you call it? A contract that stipulates a gift given to someone else. Im matanas barihi. So let's say when the present was given, the person who received it was healthy. Afi shashnei modem. Even they both acknowledge it. It's not returned to either one. Shema kasabiten. Because maybe what happened was is that. What do you call it? The guy giving the gift intended to write a contract and loan us and never gave it. And maybe he wrote it up, but just changed his mind about giving it as a present and sold the field off to somebody else. Right? But if what do you call it? Let's say he goes back on his claim. He's going back in it to go ahead and what do you call it? Deceive the other guy. Now, let's say the present was given by someone who's about to pass away. So if what do you call if he acknowledges it, then he can keep it. He gives it. If not, don't. Because someone on his deathbed, if he's giving out presents and then takes it back, then it's the last one who is the acquirer of the gift. So let's say the guy who gave the present away. As he's dying on his deathbed, he passes away. So then, Afish, even if the inheritor testifies that he got this gift, Nasna, rather, it was given to him. Yaksir, the guy who finds it should return it. Lo lezeh, to either one. Shemakasavlitain, because maybe he wrote it up to give. Lo Nasan never gave the gift. Umakra hayoresh, and maybe the inheritor sold it. Or Nasna v'chazerbo, or he gave it and changed his mind. Kinyuna, and he wants to go ahead and join with the original guy. In order again to illegally take the property away from the last guy. Halacha Yudal, the Masa Shober Bizman Shabalashtar Modesh. Let's say you find the receipt and the person who, what do you call it, the IOU was written for, definitely recognizes that this doesn't work anymore, meaning that it was paid off, Uparo Omachlo, meaning he says it was paid or he forgave payment. Yitan Abal Shober. Then it's given to the owner of the receipt. Ain't Shnei Modem, they don't agree. Lo yachal, you keep it. Is musak. Let's say you find a ksuba from a marriage. Modem, even they both agree that this is that the ksuba is valid, and therefore the husband will have to pay the woman, his wife. Lo yachal isha, you don't give it back to the woman. Shema nifra ksuba zu, because maybe that she collected money off the ksuba already, or nimchala, or she forgave him for paying anything off of it. Machar. So then, because of that, the husband sold off the property. Who wrote the last you know the and therefore he wants to trick the purchasers. Finally, sorry, excuse me. Halacha Yud Gimel. right? Matzah igara, igros shum. So these are a bunch of lists of different types of legal documents. Let's say you found a, what do you call it, a document that stipulates the worth of a debtor's property, the igros mazon. That's also what it called, the evaluation of a person's property to sell so that he sustains his wife. Shtari chalitza umiunin, or contracts that stipulate chalitza from yibum, or another type of refusal by the minor, by a woman who's a minor. Ushtari atainos shekos v'nadyanin tainos or shabal din zeh b'shachabero. Or you find what do you call it, a judge's notes about basically a specific case, easy way to put it. Oshamasa shari biruim, or let's say you found what do you call it, a certain type of clarity document, which means a hamashtara should be ruled by the dinin as the yonin. So there are contracts where what do you call it, they talk about which judges were picked. The kibbo lam shiadun lam, and they accepted upon them ploni aponi, this dian, that dian. Oshamasa kol maisa bezin, or any court, other court documents. Raise the axe in all these cases, you return them. Kol shadavar, this is the principle. Kol shtar shechoshin bo lipiron lo yaksho shem nefrecho. So the general principle is, any legal document you find where there's a monetary obligation involved, you did not return it because you assume maybe the obligation of debt was paid off. V'mayachayev modeh, but if the person who's a debtor says, yes, I still owe money, v'esha shahodeh kedi lasos kinyuna, it's possible he's doing it in order to trick the later purchaser, so actually yaksho alokeah, amakaba hamatana shabachu akazman ashtar. So again, these are two situations of tricking. Shabukadin. Harizil Yash, you don't return an office name of they both agree that the debt's valid. The whole shar able to the khashash. However, when there's a situation where you find a document with a monetary obligation, there's no reason to suspect one side or the other, little problem looking you not, whether it's for being repaid already or for some type of deception, Yash the Baila, that gets returned back to its owners. And finally, Lucky Dalad, bringing this section was elevated and close. Anytime there's a contract that you find that you're not supposed to return it, if you did return it, all right, eluk sharim, the documents are considered good, but go ahead and you can collect based on them. Osan, you don't take it out from the, you don't remove it from the owners. And we, what do you call it? We assume they're good documents and we don't have any suspicions about them. That ends Hilchos Gzela the Aveda. I mean, we'll continue with Chovel Amazik next time.